do the scoop.
Scoop dee dee poop.
Scoop dee dee poop.
Poop 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 poop.
Scoop.
Scoop scoop.
Poop poop
dee poop.
Hey.
Come on.
Ooh. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Unbothered podcast. This is episode 2.
Mm.
Come on, hashtag consistency. We're making it.
Look at us.
We're shining.
All this money.
That's it. Just like the sun, that's how we roll. That's what we're doing.
Do you know what? That's sick because who saw Beyonce's Coachella performance? Listen.
Don't get me started.
I'm this controversial to Cindy, but I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
Yeah, I don't know how we're
No, I love her music. Let's not lie. I love her music. It's always a bop. But her performance was actually insane. Like, her work ethic is just very inspirational.
Mm.
The choreography.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you see me every day... I've got the ringtone.
What?
I've set that thing as my ringtone.
Hey, what?
Everyone mad. Everybody mad?
I said I'm going to make everyone mad with my dance moves.
She made everyone mad with her dance moves.
I was mad. From 4 a.m. in the morning, I woke up. And just to know that her performance was streaming at 7, I said, I got to be 3 hours early, baby. You got to stay ready for Coachella.
Do you know what? It's funny. It's deep because this girl... She will never wake up that early to come to church on Sunday. What? For Beyonce?
My eyelids are on the run. If it's any other Sunday. But when it comes to Beyonce.
Whoo, mate, to come and serve on time. This girl, you will never see at 7:30. But she'll up from 4 to watch Beyonce. But it was a sick performance.
Can we literally just talk about the structure and... what it meant, I felt like the audience didn't really understand the full totality of the black significance and the black excellence that was actually injected in the whole performance from the beginning.
Mm.
From her dressing up as almost this sort of Cleopatra-esque character. And we see the strength of women and also black women and sort of that being represented. And it sort of reminded me a bit of like, you know, with Cake and... Scissors song or the stars, that significance, and at the ending specifically where you see the Amazonian women so big and they're representing how women are almost like gods and they're ethereal in their nature, we sort of see they emulate that for the first 10 seconds when I heard that drum and then I saw Bill said, she's really here to steal my edges and I'm okay with that. But what I love is that that performance was bigger than itself and it represented a lot of black women and also black men, and how when we all... It was almost like a mini Wakanda sort of, like, ceremony. That's what we were kind of getting. Because you just see that sort of excellence and that unison.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, from from all the different shapes as well. Like, Sarah, you were tweeting about that earlier, about all the different women, and it was so good to see that level of inclusion, that scope. So nobody was marginalized. And I think a lot of black people as well, like, it's very... easy for us to be marginalized in society, but you kind of see how she created strength and recognition out of that, something that we actually lack in society. So I really felt like her performance was moving forward. We kind of got to see, you know, we're just seeing the foundations of Wakanda building in society.
That's it.
slowly. So
it was like a not female empowerment but black empowerment. Because it's something that is really needed in this day and age, especially in America. Like, racial tension is really high in America. So she really did, that performance really did empower black people, I felt. So I really felt like because the audience couldn't relate to the performance.
Yes, correct.
Because majority of them were white, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So they won't get the, you know, the black college culture that she referenced. You talked about Cleopatra, you know, that's an African, Egyptian royalty.
Correct.
White people don't know that because they whitewash all of that. Yep. But that's for another episode. When we start to talk about cultural appropriation.
That episode we'll even call Dear White People, won't it?
Come on.
The Unbothered special.
Like, that's it.
Honestly.
Dear Bothered White People.
That's it. But honestly, like, what parts stood out for you? Like, what parts
in the
really
performance?
Yes, like, if you could actually select aspects of that. What really stood up to you and actually made you think, rah, she's really shifting the culture right now. Like, I'm looking at this and I'm feeling something.
That's a deep question, you know. I think it's the fact that she intertwined black college culture into that. So HCBUs.
Yes, correct, yeah.
Like the whole band performance, like the hoodies, do you know the little logos that they have as well?
Correct, yeah.
Like, listen, I'm British, I was born and raised in London, but we've seen that kind of culture growing up in American movies, so you feel like you can connect to it.
Come on.
Seeing all of that in movies and entertainment, and it's just empowering because white people don't get to experience that. It's part of black culture for Americans, and they need that kind of culture, you know? Because for British black people, we're kind of more connected to our African roots, and African Americans, they're connected to that kind of Americanness.
I know what you mean, the westernization.
So yeah, they don't have
Western culture.
Yeah, so they kind of got their own little culture, and that college thing that she did is part of their culture. So correct. That's why they're really proud of that. What about you?
I think for me, the main thing that sort of stood out was sort of when they did the Swag Surf song, like that diva, because you got to see that introduction and the beauty of the sort of, not only the ratchetness, because I feel like that word is very tainted in by people's depiction of it, their stereotypical depiction of it. And when we sort of see her sort of add that regal element to that ratchetness, it actually made us, like, it made me feel so proud to be black, because sometimes, even like in different environments, the way that you move, sometimes you feel like your spirit can't move as freely as a black man, a black woman. And when I saw that, it's like when we dance, I kind of feel like you don't have to explain yourself. It's like your spirit is telling that story. And so when you see other people dancing as well, and you know that you don't have to be like, oh, I might have to turn down my dances a bit, I can't like hit them folks in this workplace or shoot in the workplace.
I'm dead.
But when you see that, she's kind of bringing that and introducing that and actually saying, look at black culture, everyone. Like, be included in it, appreciate it, but also acknowledge where it's come from, acknowledge its history, acknowledge where it derived from. Because even like, I know it might sound like, oh my gosh, we're looking at the nitty gritty, but even in terms of the fact with the confidence and the stance and the sort of the righteous aggression that she came with those dance moves, you kind of saw that respect, and it's almost like, you will give me respect. And that's why I feel like that also helped to make the other aspect of when the bugaboos were being told what to do by Beyonce, when she was like, get the, it all interlinked and integrated into that. And I think those two moments for me were the most impactful.
Yeah. Because the Swag Surf is like, it's a big part of their college culture as well.
Yes.
You know, like those pep rallies and all that stuff.
Of course.
So even me watching the performance, I was like, why are these people not getting hyped? Because I'm in my room, besting their Swag Surfing by myself. Like,
180. But I'm
because
down.
They don't know that part of the culture, they can't experience it fully. But my fear is that, do you know, once a part of a culture is exposed, people do appropriate it and disrespect it.
And gentrify it. So, I think it's gentrifying.
Yeah, a part of me is quite protective of parts of our culture.
Of course.
Her performance was sick, I would have loved it if some of it wasn't too exposed.
What do you mean? Expand on that.
So, like, Swag Surf, with some people come and just now twist it, make it their own, and, like, they don't use it as inspiration.
Oh, okay. But they use it as a form to sort of almost, they would almost use it as a symbol for their race or a landmark kind of a movement.
Do you know, like a platform to bounce off of? Because that's what they do with...
Yeah, of course.
What they do with a lot of black culture.
But then I think that comes down to us again. I think that we have to, like Beyonce has shown to take ownership of that, I think that we must do the same, because I've always felt as a black community as well, as much as I feel like if we are going to expose that much, we also have to have just as much ownership over it.
Mm.
Like, if we're willing to be that, you know, to expose on that level, sorry, we also have to be willing to be just as strong in and actually, you know, really proactively showing this is where it came from. Do you know what I mean? Because mm. I think that's something that the Black community lacks, not to sort of go off in a tangent, but I think we lack that sort of ownership, that sense of ownership. Because I think, like you're saying, there is that fear of being too open. I do believe that sometimes we are too open, but I also believe that we need to have more of an ownership over our things, like other, like I believe that other communities do.
I see your point. I see it, but then the mm-hmm. devil's advocate in me wants to say that they will still come and steal it anyway. Even if we do show ownership, they will still come and own it. I mean, take it away anyway. So like, this is going mad off topic. But do you know, like, if you have not seen Black Panther,
ooh.
Please cut it off here. Please stop listening because I will do spoilers. But anyway, you've had your warning.
It's coming on DVD on the 8th of May.
Man's so gonna buy it.
Just even pre-order it now.
That's it. Watch it online. Plug. I don't promote illegal activities, but do what you gotta do, innit? I'm not telling you what to do. Watch it illegally, but you gotta do it. Anyway, so like, yep, you know how it. They were trying to protect the vibranium?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
like, they were trying to hide it. They had a sense of ownership with the vibranium.
Yes, yes, yes.
But obviously, some of them still feared that people... I feared that, you know, if the Western world were exposed to it, they would come and take it anyway and claim it as their own.
Mm.
So I feel like even a sense of ownership, people will still come and take it.
But do they not do that now already?
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Oh, wow. I get what you mean, but I still feel like...
Okay.
I feel like if we had more ownership over our things and we were proactive in the movie in terms of how we choose to express that in society, so not only through dances, but obviously through shops and stuff, like even as small as things as hair shops... Like, more Black people need to be owning hair
shops.
That's
it. That's
there's it. There's no excuse. Like, I genuinely believe that there is no excuse in this day and age as to why we can't be owning more hair shops.
Mm.
Especially with social media. You can be selling things online. I feel like we need to have more of an ownership over that. That's absolutely fine. That's cool. Yeah, we need to have more of an ownership over it.
But, yeah. So, that was an interesting discussion about... Beychella.
Mm.
Interesting analysis.
Mm.
Anyway, so at the beginning of the episode,
yes,
we started singing Scoop Diddy Poop. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard that.
The iconic,
the you legendary, but cancelled Kanye West. So Kanye West has been problematic this week on Twitter.
Mm.
And Cindy, do you want to like summarize why he's been problematic?
I think he's been problematic just in terms of what he's willing to represent. And in terms of the fact that he doesn't know what he's standing for. He knows what aspects he wants to stand for, but he doesn't know what he's the bigger picture of what he's actually representing. And the fact that because he's not feeling the repercussions of what Trump is actually for, it's almost like he has the privilege. It's like what I said on Twitter essentially is like, this week I really feel like Kanye basically, it's like he went to Tesco's and bought white privilege like it was a box of cereal. That's literally what I thought he did in terms of being able to have that ignorance to not see the effects of what the marginalized are going to be experiencing. And it's ironic because when he grew up, he was pretty much having that experience that the marginalized will be having now. He had that experience and he got out of it, but it's almost like he has the power, the rich sort of privilege and the ignorance to actually be able to now oversee that same experience that he once had.
Yeah. Do you know, it's funny because I like that analogy. He went into Tesco and bought white privilege, but do you know what was in the box? Oppression.
Oh,
you played yourself
yet again.
Because you can't get white privilege.
That's it.
Because in the eyes of these men, you're still a nigger.
At the end of the
you're
day,
still Negro.
That's
you're still
it.
Coloured.
That's it.
Like, they will never respect you simply because of your colour. You can wear your MAGA hats as much as you want.
Mm.
You can tattoo MAGA on your chest. But they will still see you as a black man.
That's what it is. You're essentially a black man in a white space.
That's
in an elitist white supremacist space.
That's it. That's it. So they're not going to appreciate you. But I kind of understand some of his points.
Yes,
so saying,
correct. Me too. I get it.
When he says slavery is a choice, he didn't articulate it well.
Correctly.
No
common sense at all.
Like, if he's trying to say that black people could have revolted and kind of rise up against the white man because of the numbers, they did.
Harriet
That's
Tubman.
The thing. They did.
She did.
There was multiple riots, but they still came and killed them. So, brother, like, slavery wasn't a choice.
Yeah, because they didn't wake up this morning and say, oh my God, I want to be owned today. Like, nobody, like...
Oh my God.
And they got kidnapped. Like,
yeah,
their right, their free will, basic free will was taken from them, was stripped from them.
Yeah. And they were manipulated.
Honestly.
Abused in so many different ways and levels that we can't even
begin to say.
Yeah.
Like,
and the thing is, we're still suffering those effects today.
Correct.
Correct. In the UK, it's more subtle. In America, they're becoming more loud about
extroverted about,
like,
it. That's all it
they're
is.
Being racist with their chests. But
here's
you can't thing. Really come and say stuff like that when people are still suffering the effects of slavery. I was reading an article on Vice about how they were still slaves up until 1960s, way after they stopped slavery. There's probably still slaves now.
There are still slaves now.
Definitely, but we just don't know.
Because the media decides to hide that aspect from us and to hide that reality. And
yeah.
I just wanted to bounce off what you said before. Sorry for cutting you if I did, but I just wanted to bounce off and just say, like, I genuinely believe that the fact that Kanye can confidently state that he believes that 400 years of slavery was a choice is him literally single-handedly gaslighting a whole black community while simultaneously attempting to incarcerate the raw and disgusting reality of the ancestral to present day experience of the black man / black woman. And it's sad because, like Sat was saying, like, I see there were some points, like, especially if you watch the interview with him and Charlemagne, that I would say, I'd recommend that you watch that and not just see the tweets and not just see the TMZ interview. I'd say that you should watch that because you gain more of an insight into why he's thinking the way he's thinking, but you also get to see that he doesn't really know what he's supporting for. He just knows the aspects that he likes, but he doesn't know the detrimental effects of the bigger picture, and he also doesn't know what Make America Great Again truly stands for. Because he has the privilege of not experiencing that. So he can have the choice to be ignorant towards that. It just made me realise Kanye doesn't really... He's not really aware and he doesn't really know things. Especially when it comes to politics, he doesn't. And he's never been that kind of a character to stand for politics or immerse himself in such things.
But what if he does, though? What if he actually truly does know what he's talking about?
Yeah, but... Do you know why it's hard? You really need to watch the interview just in terms of the fact that he was talking more. I know that he was deriving more of a place of the whole psychological mentality of victimization and how we need to, you know, be free from that, essentially. That's what he meant. Because if you listen to that interview, that's basically what he was talking about. I was like, the way you articulated that was so poor that... If you were to listen 2 seconds into that TMZ interview, it wouldn't even encourage someone to listen to that Charlemagne interview. Because even with me, it was a battle for me to actually go, am I going to waste 1 hour and 45 minutes to watch an interview with someone who actually just proactively said that slavery was a choice? But then there was that part of me that was like, I need to get that holistic view and I need to see where these thoughts derive from. But then I also saw aspects of himself where it was almost like he had this weird fixation and want for approval from the white man, and I get it in terms of the fact that he wants to fit into that space and to be normal, and for it to be normalized across the board for all black people / people of color as well. But it's difficult when you're standing for someone and actually proactively going, I support that, and choosing to ignore the other aspects that fall under that.
So I was gonna ask, what do you think the deeper issue is here? Do you think he really is trying to be controversial to promote his new album, because he's got two albums coming out in June, you know? Or is it because he's generally seeking approval from the white man? What do you think it is that's causing all this? Is it mental health issues? Is it a combination of all these things? Because we know that he lost his mum a couple of years ago,
and he's never been the
same. He hasn't been the same, you know. We never. Missed the old Kanye, as he said.
So
what do you think it is that's causing all of this? Or is he just in the sunken place and we've just lost Kanye? We won't get him back.
Come on. I don't want it to be true, but I genuinely believe that it is a combination, yes, of mental illness, but I also think it's a combination of him wanting to have this approval for the white man, because I think he's always wanted to fit into those spaces, and as black people we all have, but I think he became so obsessed with trying to do anything to fit into that space. Like, I felt like around the time with the life of Pablo, we started to see Kanye heal a little bit, but I think more specifically from Yeezus, even from that time where he had his fashion show and he was stating about how he was trying to reach out to brands, and brands were neglecting him, and they were sort of laughing at him and sort of looking down on him like, oh, who's this, like, kind of the idea of who's this Negro trying to fit into this white space. So I feel like he's always tried to sort of prove to them that he can not only fit into that space but also take control of it. But
do you see what I mean?
I think that's...
But what makes people want approval of white men? Do you think it's a rejection from the black community? Because if people don't feel like they can be part of their own community, they always look for somewhere else to feel like they can fit in. Or is it just because we've just been sold the idea of, you know, this American dream? I don't think we've got a British equivalent to that, but that American dream, you know, like, if you make money, you're rich and you're famous, everything will be fine. You've got influences, connections. What makes people seek the approval of white men?
I think it's the sort of this impending cycle of chasing and never actually grabbing the American dream. And I don't know if you've seen, what is it, J. Cole's album and... Not album, sorry, if you've seen J. Cole's video, YouTube video for ATM on his latest album, which is incredible, you sort of see, literally, how money is literally leads us to insanity.
Mm.
And eventually what happens at the end of the video is J. Cole, literally, he dies, literally, because of money. Like, he was selling his arm, he was selling his leg, like, all to impress this woman.
Wow.
And also so that he could be in a place of like, look at me, I'm stunting, I'm rich. So I think it does, for me, I genuinely believe that it derives from him sort of wanting to chase this American dream. I definitely believe that, because even if we look at the idea of the Kardashians, which is another topic which I'll just lightly touch on, but even the idea that how she looks like, not even what she represents, but just in terms of that, he literally said that he believed that she was the perfect woman, and, you know, how she's constructed and how she looks. And I think, like, that, even that shows his external approval to want to fit into that space of having all that money and all that fame. Because if we look at Kanye, since old Kanye, like, and through Watch the Throne, like, the black community has always been accepting of him. It's only to this present day right now, when he said what he said, that people... I've looked at him personally and been a bit like, okay, I don't know if I can support this. Because even with me, I'm thinking to myself, I want to listen to Kanye's new album, but can I really support someone who holds those views? I don't know if I'm willing to give my money to someone who supports those views. But he's always been supported. Like, he's always been supported by the black community. In fact, the black community, I believe, that is what propelled him to be where he's at now.
It's difficult because... Like you said, Kim he called Kim the ideal woman, like, but literally. She's built off the idea mm-hmm. of a black woman.
The ideals and yeah,
that I like
and the fetishes. Yeah, more
like
or less.
You know, the big bum, the big breath, like the small hips. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. The whole thing just baffles me because I really feel like a part of it is rejection as well. Because I start thinking about how, do you know, there was a video that went viral probably a couple of years ago about Kanye going on a rant. He used to go on rants during his performances.
Yeah.
And he started talking about Jay-Z and how Jay-Z didn't let his daughter play with North and all of that stuff. And I feel like parts of that may play into it as well.
Of course, yeah.
Because Jay-Z is probably seen as one of the biggest rappers in
that's his idol. He said that in the interview.
Yeah, someone that he really respects and is well respected in the black community has now rejected him. And now all he has to turn to, and obviously he's lost his mum. So
that's woke.
All he has to turn to is this white family who appropriates, and so they're kind of, they're like, they look black, may act black, but they're not actually black. So he feels like he can relate to that because he wants to be that. So he wants to have, I don't know if I'm making sense, but that black culture, but not actually be black. Do you know what I mean?
It's almost like, this might sound like a bad analogy, but I kind of see it in terms of the fact that, like, you know, like the way that the Beychella audience couldn't necessarily
relate
to Beyonce, but they enjoyed the experience. It's almost like that. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You enjoy the experience, but you'll never sort of have, you'll never truly know what it feels like. So it's almost like you're a witness to this experience.
Yeah.
And it's like, Kanye's married that. He's married the almost experience. Yeah, exactly. He's married an experience. No, an ideal of an experience.
Come on, the West experience. But, yeah. I was going to say something based off that, but I totally forgot what I said. What I thought.
It's okay. Do you think he's in the sunken place? And if he is, do you think he can be brought out? I don't think so. I think there's no amount of flashes now.
Mate, unless someone can make the brightest flash, like, I don't think he wants to come out of the sunken place. To be honest. Because he's enjoying that experience, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's not happy.
But I feel like a lot of things go into that, though.
True mental health and everything. Plus, I don't know him, so I don't know. Maybe he is happy. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that play into it because of the whole fame thing and his mental health and money and influences. But honestly, who knows? Maybe Kris Jenner is the one who's behind all of this.
How do you know? The mastermind. Like, she could just be laughing right
now. The puppeteer.
That's it.
Controlling
everything,
Kanye.
No, honestly, it's true. You know, it's that's facts only. We don't know.
I will save my conspiracy theories for another episode.
Nah, literally, Sarah is the queen of conspiracy theories. Like she said, she comes up with so many conspiracy theories, some of which literally induce stress within me. Like I don't even know. I feel like it might even be the root as to why I'm anemic. You know, that's how it's her conspiracy theories. I'm actually convinced.
I love a good conspiracy theory. Who doesn't?
Nah.
Who doesn't?
Honestly, it kills me. What do you want to touch on now, my love? We can go into any other topics that we got down.
But anyway, to summarise, Kanye is trash. He's cancelled.
I don't know.
Like the other black men that's been cancelled this week.
Wow. I know they've taken a lot of L's this week.
Yeah.
I love you, black men.
You need to come through.
You're delicious. You're amazing. But you've been holding a couple of L's.
That's it. Just take it. Turn those L's into lessons. Like Chance the Rapper said.
Actually, hate
and just men are trash, aren't they?
I mean, I can't support that statement. I always feel conflicted. Like I see where it comes from, and where it derives from, but when I say it, I can't say it confidently. Like I can't.
I will say it.
I can't sleep at night saying that.
I will stand on the roof of my house, Do you know the video of the woman with the pots? I get sleep because of y'all. I'll be doing that, but men are trash. Like, I will come with my klaxon, my microphone, durag, come through, shout, men are trash in my chest. But that's for next week's episode.
Honestly.
Because we're probably going to talk about Rihanna and Drake and men's entitlement over
exactly,
women.
Exactly, which is something that, hey.
Which will be delicious, so just stay tuned for that. But on a lighter note, Cindy, shout out, what has been the tracks that you've been feeling for the past couple of weeks?
Ooh, so the tracks that I've really been feeling, of course, Nice For What by Drake. I'll give you a little sample as soon as I've got it up. Bear with me, guys. Honestly.
Come on. I wanna know who motherfucking representing it here tonight. Hold on.
So we've got that. Also, oh my gosh, I don't know if you know Janelle Monáe's new album. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Love the concept, love everything that it's about it. You should watch the emotion picture. It's called, oh my gosh, I've literally forgotten. It's so Dirty Computer. There's an emotion picture which I highly recommend that you'd watch, because it's almost like a sci-fi. It's almost like a full Black Mirror long episode. Just warm out, literally a parallel universe, which is like Earth, but it literally touches on everything. The whole idea that man is a dirty computer that society feels like they need to clean. And my favourite song from there, I don't know if you've listened to Django Jane, but Django Jane is my song.
Okay, come on.
And then the last track that I would actually say that I've been really listening to is Cardi B, I Like It Like That.
Mate,
that is my summer anthem.
Come on.
That's me done with my tracks on my album. So go for it, Sal.
Mate, the album I've been listening to a lot is Cardi B. Invasion of Privacy. It's quite good. It really brings out the ratchetness in me, which is fun. Always fun. And then I think a track is Chun-Li by Nicki Minaj.
That is my song.
She recently released the second video for it, which is better than the first video because it looked like it was literally a Snapchat video that these girls be doing for some reason. But the second video is better. It's not that great, but it's better.
I think she could have built on it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I love the costume and the visuals, but I was expecting her to almost have the sort of video game-esque essence that, you know, obviously Chun-Li the Street Fighter has.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that would be embedded a lot more.
Mate, do you know what I miss those tracks. Do you know music videos that would have a storyline in them?
Like Your Love by Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. All the songs that had stories in it. So, like, R. Kelly, even though he's cancelled, and Usher, same girl.
Yeah.
Same girl. Same girl.
That's it.
Monica and Brandy.
That's it.
The Boy Is Mine.
Call It Out.
That's it.
Say It Out.
Destiny's Child Girl. Does it have... not really.
It kind of reminds me of Sex and the City kind of vibes.
Yeah, but it's not a real story.
Yeah.
So delete that one. Cancelled.
Like Kanye.
But like music videos that actually had a story to them, because now they're just doing nonsense. Like,
don't even make sense.
The visuals don't make sense. King's Dead. What, can someone tell me why they sitting in palm trees?
Because they can.
Why are they?
Kendrick doesn't have to explain himself.
Doesn't make
sense. He's on no. The height, at which he's at represents the height in his career. It also represents the height at which he's psychologically decided to place himself at, the mentality that he's on. That's why he's nonchalantly eating that corn in the cob.
That's it.
Miss me with that BS.
Cindy been reading them YouTube comments.
Cindy being ready. The queen being ready. I gotta go get it. Come on, call me Cindy Rock.
Celia Lamar, come on. That's it. But I think that is it for today's episode.
That's it. We wanted to keep it light, short, sweet as usual.
It might have been a bit deep, but just let us know. What do you think about Kanye West and the whole situation?
Like, big facts.
Is man in the sunken place? Is he just confused? Is he doing it for publicity? Because any publicity is good publicity. And then join us next time when we talk about how men are trash.
Yeah, I feel like Kanye's made the sunken place good again. That's his motto.
Ah, I'm dead.
But that's okay. He can chill in his mansion there.
Mate, listen, I'm living in freedom, so I will not be seeing him anytime soon in the sunken place.
That's all I can say.
But we will see you next time. Thank you for joining the Unbothered podcast. We definitely did tell you what was bothering us today, this week. So let us know. What should we talk about? What's been bothering you, actually?
Yes, please, let us know.
What's been bothering you this week? And then maybe we'll discuss it.
I'm telling you, and we'll discuss all topics next week where the tea will be sweeter than heaven, but hotter than hell. Have a blessed week.